Hey guys, we're back with episode 3. Episode 1 was amazing. Episode 2 was great. And remember what I said, 2 ears, 1 mouth. The quote of the day is, be yourself, because everyone else is taken. You're now here on a Sweet Fire production, Listen to Low. And like I said, be yourself, everyone is definitely taken. We all might get cut and blood run red, but when it comes down to it, everyone have to be themselves. We're so excited today because we got some great guys going to be on today. And this subject is going to be coaches and players relationship. But I'd like to recap going back to episode 1. We talked about coaches relationship and we talked about 7v7 and how it works when you got NFL and professional out there giving back their time and their monies to help kids be better in different sports. And the main thing we talked about then was how do the kids react to NFL, to professional, why they're at certain events. And as you know, that conclusion was all said and done. Everything was set. Everything is good. Cam Newton came out and talked about it. Top Chef TJ came out and talked about it. And we're moving on. And then we came back episode 2. We talked about NIL, the difference from a collective, NIL, and even a brand. Dan LaFars came over here and he talked about how athletes need to have the right guidance and the right people behind them. So make sure you take heed to that and make sure you go back and look at episode 1 and episode 2. Now, be yourself because everyone else is taken. I wanted to be myself because I knew I couldn't be like no one else. I knew I wasn't the best athlete, but I knew my hard work will make sure I get rewarded. I dealt with so many different kids. So many different athletes in all different sports. Each one have their own path. Each one have their own journey. But every last one of them have a strong relationship with a coach. A coach with you all the time. They say a coach is with you more than your own parents. Parents wake up in the morning, drop you off at school. When you get out of school, you're with a coach. He take you to practice. He practice for 2 or 3 hours. He normally take you back home. Then you see your mom and dad. Wake up next morning and do it all over again. So that goes to show you how important a coach is to an athlete. So I had the pleasure today to have 2 of my athletes, well, my former athletes, and both of them had 2 different journeys, 2 different paths. But when all said and done, the path that we all agreed upon, when they're done with college football, that they're going to give me a college degree and a college jersey. Did they come down to deciding whether they want to make it to the NFL? Did they decide to just go through college? Did they decide to just, you know, work? Well, we're going to find out in a minute. And coming up right now is 2 of my former athletes. 1, Mr. Darryl Monroe, Washington State graduate, linebacker, All Pac-12. Then we have Dorian Jones. Dorian Jones, Campbell University, All-State, one of the top DBs in college, and now they're here back, giving back to the community. And they also are both of Excel Speed Fitness Training trainers. It gets no better than that. Guys, welcome to Listen to Low. How are we doing today?
I appreciate you having us on here, Coach.
No doubt. No doubt.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I tell you one thing about sitting right here and looking at 2 successful young men that I had an opportunity to working with since, I think, Dorian, you might have been 7.
I like 7.
Darryl, was you 7 or about 9? I don't know. When your dad brought you to me, you might have been about 9.
About 9 years old.
About 9 years old, right? So a coach relationship, right? So I'm gonna jump to this right quick. This is so crazy. I'm talking to your daddy, and he said, man, I appreciate you out there training, but you got Dorian out there training too. Then I asked you this and thought about that. I said, let me call your daddy. Yeah, I reached out to him. He said, man, I appreciate you. I mean, I appreciate you. You always said one thing. You said you're always going to be in their life, no matter what. And then I went back to your daddy, and your daddy said, don't forget that name I gave you. Because your daddy one gave me this name. Coach Low for life. And your daddy said, and not for a season. That's crazy, right?
Definitely.
here what I want to do today on this show. I want to talk about the relationship from a coach and a player. Not just in college. I want to start back from the youth football. Because you know time have changed, right? The show last time we talked about money ball versus football. You guys play football. It wasn't about the money. When you agree? All right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I want to just, I'm asking a series of questions. And, you know, give me your answers. And then just tell me a little bit about that relationship, okay? So let's go back to Pop Warner football. I'm going to start with you, Darryl. Who you played for in Pop Warner?
Man, I first started off in State League with Metro Orlando Rams.
Okay.
And I played there for about, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when we finally met. I played at Pine Hills Trojans.
Okay.
Yep.
How's that relationship with the coach at Pine Hill Trojans or even at the State League or just, you know, the coach that you ran across? How was that relationship back then?
Well, you know, pretty much a lot of the coaches from Metro Orlando Rams, you know, transitioned to Pine Hills Trojans.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when you talk about relationships, shoot, Coach Maurice still, you know, cut my hair till just a few years ago. You know, he worked in your shop.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, that should tell you alone, you know, how big the relationships are. You know, me and his son, good friends, Jair Young, his dad. There's a lot of kids I can name who dad coached us, mm-hmm. who've been around, and, you know, those become lifelong relationships.
Right. You know? So I like that word which you just used too, Darryl, lifelong relationship, yeah. Right? So here it is, a coach coached you back in the youth league, right? Mm-hmm. Now he's still your barber as a grown man, a successful grown man, right? He's still your barber, relationship with his son and other teammates to this very day.
Absolutely.
Relationship building.
Absolutely.
Lifetime relationship building.
Absolutely.
Very important.
Absolutely.
Dorian, talk to us.
Yeah, I wanted to start playing when I was 5, 6 years old. My mama was scared to let me play tackle, so I played flag football for my first 2 years, 6 and 7 years old, with Barnett Park Cowboys. Then I transitioned to tackle. I went and played for the Ocoee Bulldogs. My dad didn't want to put no hands on. He didn't want to coach me my first couple years. He just wanted to see how I did on my own. He never coached me like my first 4 years playing. So I had good relationships with them coaches. My dad still talks to them to this day. They always reach out to me every now and then through Facebook and stuff like that. So I coached like Coach Bobby, Coach Matt. I still got him on Facebook. He ended up coaching me. Coach Matt ended up coaching me when I was in Pee Wee. He came from Pine Hills Trojans. Same place Darryl played at, you know what I'm saying, for my last 2-3 years playing.
Mm-hmm.
And just the relationships I built through meeting different players through him that he brought over from Pine Hills that I'm still cool with to this day. And then just always being there. Like, he used to, because Matt stayed around the corner from me. So we used to be over at his house just kicking it, growing up, you know what I'm saying? Right there by the bus stop that I went to school in. So I think that kind of really shaped it, because, you know, it built that camaraderie as you continue to go through college and high school, you know what I'm saying? That locker room is what's real close and important. So I kind of got that sense of locker room. You know, I don't even have a locker room.
Right.
In the house.
Right.
We kind of had that locker room at his house, you know what I'm saying? So that was really big for us.
Right. So what you're saying is, the coach made sure that the team was together, built that camaraderie, team, everything, team bonding. We worked together, right? But then also, he lived right around the corner from your house, so you able to just go over the house, build that relationship there. So like a father away from home, your parent trusts the coach at the same time, right? But at the same time, you're able to meet different kids from the media area, right? So not only with football, when they went home, y'all still able to play together and work together. Right, and do things together to build that bond. But here's what I'm hearing, one thing from you is interesting. You was at one program all your youth football league.
Yes.
Didn't go nowhere, didn't leave, stay right there, same coaches, and to the very day, you still got a relationship with Coach Bobby to the very day as a grown man now.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Man.
You're just a DM away for real.
Right, a DM away. I like that. That's that millennium stuff y'all doing now. Talking about DM away. Like, I know what that means. Huh? Right?
You don't act like you don't be on that social media.
Y'all know, I'm on that social media, right? Because I like to make sure I'm impacting, you know, the mindset of kids, the mindset of greatness, right? I'm always saying that, you know, a commitment of greatness, a sacrifice of greatness, a passion of greatness. Like that's kind of my signature thing. I'm always saying that everywhere I go, because I always want to keep putting it in their head from there, right? So that's the youth time again. You see now, youth football is evolving.
Absolutely.
It's changing like crazy, right? The time that you're in now, you probably ain't seen what's going out there in the youth football now, but that's fine. Well, that's a whole nother topic, a whole nother subject, right? But this subject is all about coach-to-player relationship. And you just told me from 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, you still have a relationship with your coach.
Yep.
Wow, that's huge. But that's a transition period, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right? Because now you went to high school. Mm-hmm. That coach didn't go to high school with you. That parent not coaching at the high school. Now the transition period is going to change. What high school you went to and how that relationship with that coach now?
So I went to Okoye High School, so I had two sets of coaches. First coach came from Dr. Phillips. My freshman and sophomore year, he ended up leaving. Got coach Ben Bullock, who's now the head coach at Lake Highland Prep. I actually talked to him not too long ago, probably when I started doing my defensive back training. He was one of the guys that I hit up, asking him for field use, you know what I'm saying? He's like, well, anything you need, he checked on me through college. Anything you need, just let me know. I got you. And then I started coaching high school last year. I coached high school for a year last year. Late Mineola, was in between, still trying to play football, if I was or not. And Coach Terrence Larman, we call him Coach T, he was my defensive back coach, high school and defensive coordinator. He was ended up being a defensive coordinator at Lake Mineola. He was like, hey, man, I think you're a natural. Like, coach, come coach the DBs for me. Like, and me in the middle of not knowing what I'm trying to do yet, like, okay, I'll come do it. I appreciate your opportunity because now you're giving me, you're showing me an avenue that I hesitant on if I wanted to go or not.
Mm-hmm.
And now he introduced me to a whole nother passion, which is, you know, inspiring the youth.
Right.
So, you know, I appreciate Coach T to this day. You know, we still talk all the time. And just him taking me to camps, he rode with me to Vanderbilt 12 hours.
Wow.
Just taking me to the camps. He drove us around in the van, sent me to 6-7 different colleges for a week in high school, you know what I'm saying? Didn't have to, just did it off the love, you know what I'm saying? And to this day, he's still looking out. So I appreciate Coach T and Coach Bullock to this day.
Right, and so there it is again. So that transition was kind of scary at first, right? You had a first coach, right? You know, and then that coach leave, a new coach come in. Was that a scary moment right then? Like, okay, here go a new coach. What's his philosophy? Okay, what I'm going to do? Now, do you ever think about transferring out?
Oh, definitely. I was ready to go to Dr. Phillips. Oh, listen.
Damn, everybody wanted to go to the Panther back then, Darryl. They want to be a Panther.
My homeboy's over there. I already know the coach is over there. I'm like, man, I'm ready. Like, I feel like recruiting going to be slow. I was just, I'm only one of the few sophomores at the time, full-time starting. I just made All-Metro, was at All-State.
But what made you stay? I mean, you could have went Dr. Phillips. They was on the rise. They were doing great. They were winning.
Right.
Why did you just go follow the winning edge and just stand right here with a new coach, with don't know what to expect?
So two things made me stay. Two, I really say people. So Aaron Jones, some people may know as Trenchman Academy. He was coaching me there at Okoye at the time. And he was just like, hey, man, he put me to the side. Like, I know a lot of guys talking about leaving, talking about transferring, but you something special. You got a chance to do something special. He's like, I made a name for myself, and we brought a name to Edgewater. I was back in high school. Nobody knew about us. He was like, you got a chance to do something special. But if you jump ship now, first of all, you'll probably jump ship forever for the rest of your life.
Mm.
Two, make a chance. Take a chance and bet on yourself. I'm saying stay here, build a name for yourself, because you can be the guy, and you can bring something special. Now you can be the guy, now you're bringing a name to the school.
Mm-hmm.
Two, Coach T, mm-hmm. before I even met him, he's already reaching out to my dad. It's like building a relationship, letting him know, like, hey, listen, I can get him there, I can develop him,
mm-hmm.
be there for him every step of the way.
Right.
Then once he got in, he was hands-on, then he got me from the college coaches immediately.
Right, look at that. So wait a minute, so you transit from part one to high school, right? And then you get one coach, another coach came in. He asked you to trust him. You had good people. Now you got Aaron Jones. Then you got Coach T, Coach Bullock. He had a relationship with your father. He said, build yourself, be yourself, make a name for yourself, take this team to the next level. And I was there in the stand watching every step of the way.
Trained us this.
And I trained the whole team. I remember this, right? And now, did we win district? Right. First time we win district.
First one.
Look at that. So you could have left and went there to be a part of a group that's already winning, or let me stay and build my own destiny, not running. I love it. Darryl, you heard the story, right? You was at Dr. Phillips probably, or you were leaving. I don't know. Were you traveling? Were you there when Darryl, what year you came out there again?
2010.
And you came out 17. So yeah. Now that's a whole big time, right?
Big difference. But you watched him growing up.
But you right, you watched him growing up.
Games.
Right, watch him, and you were training with him too.
Right,
he was that little young buck that kept y'all to beat y'all, make y'all run, get that leaf. Yeah, you remember that, right? Right, he said, "Go get that leaf, right?" So, Darab, you were part of that dynasty at Dr. Phillip High School, right? You started Pop Warner.
Yeah. Pine Hills.
Went to Pine Hills.
DP.
Dr. Phillip. Yeah. Then you went to high school. Your first year, Dr. Phillip. I mean, first year in high school, you went to
Dr. Phillip. Yeah.
What was that relationship there? Because who was that coach then? Was it Pettis or Wells?
So my first year, that was Pettis.
Okay.
I want to say Pettis was still there. Salapa came in my sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you want to talk about you know, my transition to high school, there was a point in time where I would say, you know, I was blessed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it didn't come easy. You know what I'm saying? My youth coaches, like we talked about, great guys, right? You know them personally, lifelong relationships. Dr. Phillips wasn't too far off, you know. And I say that to the likes of, you know, Coach Rodney Wells, Coach Ricky Smith, you know, my linebacker coach at the time. All of our coaches, really assistant coaches, majority. And, you know, I say that because, I want to tell a little story. I'm not even sure if you know this, but I talk to kids and parents a lot about that coach and relationship build and how important a coach can be in your life and a mentor.
Right.
And, you know, once I came back from Miami this past year, I went to go see Ricky Smith. I want to congratulate him on his head coaching job.
Right.
And, you know, the guys that was in his building, the players that was in his building, something that impacted me for a long time. And, you know, I'm sure he knows now, but I graduated in 2010, early 2011.
Right.
10 years later, 13, 14 years later, we still got a group chat from that team of 2010, wow. 2011. Wow. And I could probably count on one hand, maybe two, how many days Coach Ricky Smith missed without sending us a word of encouragement.
Wow.
Something to faith, something about God.
Right.
Something that when you look at, you just knew you was getting that group text from Coach Smith about being a better person, being a better man.
Mm.
And I think he is, you know, like a cornerstone when you talk about player-coach relationships.
Right.
And a guy that's going to be there for this is 14 years later we're wow. talking about. You know, and, you know, he's getting busy, got a lot going on in his life. He got more kids, you know, a whole group of kids that he got to pour into. But for 14 years, he just kept pouring into us.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's something that just sit on my heart because I'm like, dang, you know, you don't get coaches like that.
No,
you
no.
know, the further you go in ball.
Right. Know, it's funny because I ain't gonna lie, I thought I was on the coach low for life. Here it is. Yeah. We got a Coach Ricky for life, a Coach Well for life, a Coach Bullet for life, yeah. a Coach Team for life.
Yeah.
My boy, that's a village.
Yeah.
Powerful village of men.
Yeah.
Powerful village of coaches
yeah.
that continue to pour into your life. And when I love what you said too, they send in scriptures.
Yeah.
You know, talking about God and talking about you can do it and pushing you at your lowest moment. You might get that text that say, you can do it.
Yeah.
God knows your heart.
Yeah.
Right? Motivational quotes that make you say, I can do it. Let me push through.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about, the culture, the relationship. Okay. Where are they going to be when it all said and done? Yeah. Are they going to follow you through your path and follow you through your journey from
Absolutely.
There? You know, that's interesting. And I love how you said T just got right that door and just put y'all in the car, drove 12 hours to Vanderbilt on his own dime, you know, driving everywhere, spending money to get you guys where y'all supposed to be at. And that's another step into your life. Cause now you're going to have that experience with him. And that's why now you're coming back thinking, maybe I want to coach. Man, I want to coach. That's why you got training and coaching right now at Barry's Day, because coach impacted your life. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Darab, you play on a state championship, state championship, or did y'all get beat? I'm just saying.
We didn't get beat. You know, we lost by, by whatever they call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Whatever they call it when the team got more points.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They didn't beat us. We just,
whatever. But they did. They won a 0 as a win. 2-0 is a skunk. So,
here you go.
Yeah, I'm just saying. But how many people actually can say that I did go to the state championship?
Yeah, absolutely.
I did play with some of the best players.
Yeah.
And still have a relationship with them and the coaches to this very day.
Yeah.
If you can, off your head, if you can name four guys that you played with on that state championship team and where they ended up at, if you can name right off your head in less than 3 seconds, you have really impressed the world. Go.
Philip Amone.
Phil Amone.
BYU, D-Hart, Alabama, Colorado State, Haha Clinton Dix, Alabama, Darius Johnson, Middle Tennessee. You want me to keep going?
Wow. That was four. That was less than 3 seconds.
You want me to keep going?
No, you got more?
I got more.
Well, give me a couple more.
Nick Patty, Boise State, Roderick Riles, Pittsburgh, LaQuinton Smith, Pittsburgh. Mm. Probably got a few more.
Right. But isn't that interesting how you remember them days, right, with the guys you played with, and also you're impacted by the coach at the same time. So all the texts that you're getting from the coaches, they're not just going to Darryl.
No.
It's going to all them guys.
Yep.
And them, and you just named one of the guys who I was just with up in Alabama at a camp. Mm-hmm. He came out and supported me and came to the camp and spoke to about 300 kids at a UR athlete camp, right? Mm-hmm. Haha Clinton Dix, first round draft pick, pro bowler, two-time national champion at Alabama, and right, played in the state championship with you.
Yep.
All them, all that success, but it was a family. It was a bond.
Absolutely.
I remember I went to Green Bay Packers game with Ricky Smith to watch Matt Milano play.
Oh, yeah.
And Kaha Clinton Dix.
Yep.
We all that together.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
All DP.
All DP together. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, sir.
And so, but that was spearheaded and all said and done by a coach like Rodney Wells.
Absolutely.
Right? Pettis traded it. Mm-hmm. Rodney Wells ran with it. And the success was there.
Yep.
And still to the very day have that strong path, that strong relationship.
Yep.
Great, great job, guy. I really appreciate that information you're giving me. Like I say, we just listened to Lowe. I want people to listen to what you guys are saying and what we're saying so parents can understand that if that coach don't have a strong relationship with your kid, if he's not there for life, he only there for a season, he ain't there for the right reason.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Absolutely.
I agree.
Transition time, recruiting time. I was there. Yeah. I went through the process. I went through the process, Dorian. Kendori, I got a call from Fordham University. I got a call from Colgate, Harvard, Yale. It was, Campbell University. Man, you know, all them calls came after your process that you're supposed to go big time school. We going to Vanderbilt. A big change happened. But the schools that stayed with you, here's the come right here now. The schools that stayed with you was academic schools. Full ride, 100% scholarship still, academic. So if Vanderbilt pulled a trigger, Kansas pulled a trigger, Tennessee pulled the trigger, Middle Tennessee, all these schools, they pulled the offer. But what school stayed was the school that had academic. So if you didn't have the academic, where's Dorian Jones now?
Who knows? I honestly don't know why I'd be without academics. You know, both my parents, you know what I'm saying? They always made sure it was student athlete and even back end of it too. I always said student athlete, not athlete, student. And homework had to be done before practice. Checking grades, like nothing below a C. Saying, and if it was a C, it wasn't so much I was in trouble, but like it's pressure behind it. So, you know, you got to bring that C up. That C better be a B by the time that report card comes
correct.
Out. You know, you got a progress report and report card. It better be on honor roll. You know, I was always, it made me want to like, I took it as a challenge and I always been a competitor. So I was like, okay, let's try to get all A's then. I was saying, you know, saying it's 3.6, 3.8, 4.0. Now we're getting into the honors in the AP class, and now I got a 4.2 coming out of high school. You know what I'm saying? It's just them instilling that in me. You know, I'm forever grateful just because, you know, a lot of parents try to live through their kids, and they just want to be the best athlete, but they're not focused on making them a well-rounded individual. So, you know, I tip my hat to my parents 100% every time, all day, every day, just being able to put that structure in me. You know
correct.
What I'm saying? Without them grades, who knows where I would have been. Like, I would have made something shake. I couldn't just sit at home.
Well, you know they said back in the old day, you go to college or you go to the Army. Hey, he wanted to. He would have been great at it. And I'm just keeping it real, you know. College ain't for everybody. You know what I mean? It ain't for everybody. But if it's for you, it's for you. Right? And so, hey, I mean, I'm going to throw it out there. My boy, he went to college. He didn't really like it. Etavion, he went to the military and was number one in the platoon.
Yeah.
That talent, athleticism, they had 150 kids, what you call it, army guy running around. Hey, next thing you know, this joker done won number one in the whole platoon. Outran everybody. Yeah. You know, he got the train to burn, baby, burn. The score was 600, 599. Rank him top five in the country, though, they told me. Right? So it's just what the path leads you, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, your academic led you the right way to go to that next step in college. Darryl, that path was different.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing how so many different paths, right?
Oh, yeah.
But now, you know, back then, if you went to a school academic, you're like, okay, he went to Campbell. He went to Fordham. All right. He went to academic school. You're like, okay, all right. He did. All right. Now, that's where they better be going. They better be getting a grade because right now, them the answer. Them the schools that everyone got to go to now. The time had totally changed. Isn't it amazing where kids now are trying to go to camps where their academic schools at? They got Harvard, Yale, Colgate, Holy Cross camps now. They didn't have that back in the days. But now they got to have them, right? Absolutely. So the kid is more important to be a student athlete and not an athlete student, correct?
Absolutely.
Darryl, your path was a little different, though. Different journey, different path, linebacker, Dr. Yeah. Phillip. And it was crazy. I was at the state championship, and I'm correct, you went over 100 and how many tackles that year? That puts you at 142. I might be wrong on the number.
I want to say I was probably like over, I don't even know, man. It was probably like 120 or something.
Over 120 tackles in the year as a linebacker. Had all the offer. We had a lot of offer, a lot of choices. Mm-hmm. But you chose to go 3,200 miles to Washington State.
Yeah.
But you could have went to Tulsa. I think it was Tulsa, Tulane, Ohio.
South Florida.
Yeah. You chose to go 3,200 miles away, and you took three guys with you, who was a Henry Ely, and actually to A.G. Wasing, so we got him in there, Spencer Wasing, and then you took Isaiah Myers.
Yep.
Why 3,200 miles away when you could have played right down the road?
Man, it was funny because it's centered around the topic of the show, which is player-coach relationships. The only school in Florida I really wanted to go to was South Florida. And it's funny because South Florida was my first offer, second offer, I'm sorry. It's my second offer. But what happened was I went to their junior day before I had probably my second best season in high school. And I always was confident in my abilities, but I was always a hustler. You know, and my dad used to always be on me and push me about little things like that. So, like, I used to tell the kids I coach, man, before I got offers, I would go home and email 30 to 50 schools. And I was so naive that some of these schools didn't even have football teams. But I was emailing them, attaching my highlight tape, submitting college applications, like, every day. Because, like what you said, like, you know, my dad used to say to me, man, you know, you get 18, you going to college, or you going to the military.
Yeah, one of the two.
You know, I'm young. I'm like, man, I ain't finna go out here and risk my life. I get shot at, man. Like, man, I got a life to live. I got the world I want to see. I got a lot I want to do. But anyways, you know, so from going through that, I went to South Florida. And, you know, I'm out there like a, you know, back in your day as a rapper, you know. Passing out your mixtape. I'm passing out my highlight tape. And what's funny is I think it's you who told me this. You know, I didn't hear from South Florida for weeks to months. And I'm like, man, they see my tape, they're going to offer. And I think it was you because, you know, Lolo, your son, was so highly recruited that, you know, South Florida even wanted him. And I think you or Lolo was like, yeah, man, you know, they got your tape. I seen it there when I went there. And all I could think about is, you know, man, they playing me. Mm-hmm. They think I'm a chump. They think I'm sweet. You know, so the competitor in me had it to where I'm like, okay, I'll see them 1 year. You know, I'll be at a school where they got to play me. But they came to a spring practice, and for some reason, I was a madman that day in practice.
Yeah, I was there.
You know, and then
I was right there, too, with a stack of tapes in my hand, too, passing them out. Yeah. Everybody came up the gate.
Yeah. And so next day, you know, they called my phone and, you know, hey, Darryl, you know, this is University of South Florida. You know, we want to offer you. Thank you, coach. I appreciate it. That was the end of the conversation because I just felt like, you know, they weren't there for the right reason. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't care about me. Then fast forward a little bit. That year goes by. Kill it. Have one of my best seasons, second best season. And this old guy with blonde hair and blue eyes come walking into school.
Yeah. We know who that is.
You know, and he has some confidence to him. And he like, you know, hey, man, he didn't even offer me. because he didn't think that a Florida kid would go 3,200 miles across the map. And so he go, yeah, man, you know, my name is so-and-so from Washington State. And, you know, I was so unfamiliar with the West Coast and the Pac-12, I thought he was talking about the Washington Huskies.
Right.
And I know how disrespectful that is now, you know, playing my career there and being an alumni. Yeah. But he like, yeah, man. And again, I'm somebody who I'm open-minded. You know, I want to travel the world, you know, do a bunch of stuff. So when he was like, yeah, man, I just want you to come see the school. In my head, I'm like, are you going to offer? Like, what are you talking about? You want me to come see the school? Like, you playing with me? But long story short, I understood what the reason was. And ended up going out there on a visit with my boys, man.
Yeah, I remember.
Isaiah Myers and Henry Edie.
Yeah.
And everybody asked me, why did I go so far? Why Washington State? They was 3-9, 1-11. Team is terrible. And coming from Orlando, Florida, that's where I've been my whole life. If you ever been to Pullman, Washington, I know you have.
Yes.
It's a different world.
Right.
You know, it's like you versus the world or you on another island. And it was the first time where grown men that I saw as strangers hugged me. I was like, wait, what's going on here? Like, what's the handshake? Dap it up?
Right.
You know, these guys hugging me.
Right.
You know, I had regular students who knew my name.
Right.
I'm like, man, I'm in high school. You know, I left and went back home, and guys from the team still hitting me up, and we have a normal conversation. You know, we talking about videos on Facebook. You know, this was Facebook was big. We ain't have Instagram and TikTok and all that.
Right.
So they'll send me something on Facebook. Oh, man, what's going on? You know, and we just chatting as regular. You know, those guys took care of us, man. They treated us like family, and they only knew us for a couple hours. And for me, that just, you know, sat on my heart because I'm like, man, I could go somewhere away from my family, everybody I know my whole life, and I feel comfortable. I kind of don't want to come back to Florida, you know. And when I had that feeling that I didn't want to come back to Florida, I'm like, man, that's where I want to be, right. You know. And so I would say, to sum it all up, you know, relationships are powerful because football don't, NFL don't, not for long, right?
Yeah.
It ain't just the NFL. It's any level of football.
Right.
And but those relationships, those memories, you know, you will take those to the grave.
Right.
You know, and so that's what stuck with.
Well, it seems like nowadays they're not thinking that way.
Right.
And that's why we talked about Moneyball, because like money is kind of the driving force of recruiting, football, you know, from youth to high school, all the way to college now, the NFL. Usually NFL was the driving force. That was the money.
Right.
Get the NFL, you get the money. Now it's like, hey, come play over here, you get the money. Come play at this school, you know, we got better equipment. I see now high school are remodeling their gym now, or weight room now, so they can seem like they want to, you know, get better, you know, get better guys over there. Then colleges, they focus on that too, right? But the money is starting to be the driving force, and it's kind of interesting. My question is now, if you guys had an opportunity, now we're in college, right? We're heading to college now, right? You know, big transition. You chose Campbell University, right? You know, you chose Washington State. You went on a visit, good people. And I'm quite sure, Dora, the same thing. You went on a visit, good people. You like everything. It was awesome, exciting. But now they're paying money to go do all this, right? But if you look at this, do you feel like that's the way to go? When it comes to the money, is that the way to go? What's your thoughts on that? NILs, getting money, because I'm going to go ahead and break the ice right here. I'm going to break it up. It used to be where they give you a bag. I'm going to keep it real.
Yes.
They give you a bag. It was a McDonald's bag.
Yeah.
When you got the bag, you thought you had a Big Mac.
Yeah.
But when you got home, you open up, it was big dollar bills.
Yeah.
But but now is, they ain't got to give you no bag. They tell you straight up what you're getting. It's just legal. It's what it is now. Right. And it's just the way that things going. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's watering the game down a little bit, man. I feel like it's taking that hunger away. Of course, you're going to have the outliers that they want regardless. Money going to come because of who they are. Those top guys that you see always in the headlines and stuff. But I feel like it's watering the game down. Like, people are only going somewhere. They're not going nowhere to build relationships. Not going in there to, how is the school going to benefit me after college? How am I going to become a better man? How am I going to network? It's about how much you throwing me. Oh, you're not throwing me X amount? Okay, bro, I'm going to go over here. They throw me more.
Mm-hmm.
I got personal homeboys that go in the portal, and the decision is kind of based off of, oh, yeah, bro, you think I should go here? I should go here. They throwing me $100,000, but they only throwing me $80,000. Like, but then the school throwing me $100,000, said I'm going to start. The school throwing me $80,000, I'm going to have to compete for it. So that is water, like, do you want to compete or not? Like,
right.
At the end of the day, we all, to get to that next level, we all dream of going to the NFL. You got to be a 1%er regardless. That money's not going to get you to be a 1%er. I'm saying, I feel like it's just, it's kind of throwing the game down. You see Nick Saban came out with a piece of, he retired. I feel like, if it wasn't for that, I feel like Nick Saban probably still be coaching right now.
I agree.
And I don't know him personally, but you know somebody that.
I agree.
He could probably
attest to it. Enough is enough. Right. What's that, Darryl? What you got on that?
You know, I'm open-minded and I want to look at this from all standpoints. I feel like now that I'm away from it, you know, and, you know, I'm doing my own thing business-wise, I completely agree with what Dorian's saying. As a fan of the game, you know, it's going to make it hard to watch for somebody who's played it for so long, who's coached it for, you know, a numerous amount of years. It's going to make it hard to watch and enjoy. I used to love college football more than the NFL because of what Dorian is saying. Right. NFL is watered down. Why do you think a great coach like Nick Saban didn't go back to the NFL?
Right.
You know, because of the things that he's starting to deal with at his last year at Alabama. What you think happens in the league?
Right.
Just think about it. You got guys who making 2-3 times as much as you, and you're older than them. But yet, when it comes to that, you know, me coaching you, I still have to have that authoritative figure over you.
Right.
You still got to respect me. You still got to look up to me. I have to motivate you or be a mentor to you, in my opinion, for you to maximize what you can get out of that player.
Mm.
Now, when I look at it from the business standpoint, I put myself back in those kids' shoes with what I know now in business, and I think it could be a great thing, like me and you talked about, that large portion or medium or small portion of kids who go to college not putting all their eggs in the basket for the NFL.
Correct.
You know, those kids who are going to college on a football scholarship but got the right guidance and mentorship that's with them along the way to say, hey, you know, you need to think about these degrees because X, Y, Z. You need to network with people because of X, Y, Z. Yeah, I know you want to go to Cabo for spring break, but how about you go get an internship because you're in your junior year, you know, and nothing is guaranteed.
Correct.
You know, my sophomore year in college, I had agents reaching out to me trying to get me to come out to the NFL.
Wow.
And I sit back from where I am now and I think about, man, if I was touching NIL money, I go put it into the market. You know, I go call up Low to try to get into some real estate.
Right.
So now when I'm truly done and it's all expired, I got something that has built equity, or I've invested in some stocks or a Roth IRA or whatever it may be. But while I'm playing and I don't really need the money, all it's doing is building.
Correct.
You know, so I look at it on two different sides, and I think it impacts groups of kids differently based on their background, their mentorship, you know, their upbringing, where their mindset is.
And I tell you, something you said, it's like, but they don't have, do they have that information? That's what we go back to the coach. Absolutely. Is the coach educating them on that?
Absolutely.
Do they have the right person that sit down and talk to them about that? Mm-hmm. Are they preparing them for life, or are they just preparing them to go win that game? And I go back to Doris, I mean, I think we were talking earlier, and you were talking about how, tell me again, you were saying about your friend, some of the players, they was, when you was at camp, they was going to internship, you were like, they ain't serious about football. Right? What do you mean by that?
So, yeah, like, you know, when you in it, especially guys that always dream to go to the NFL, you put the work behind it. You know, all you thinking about is football. All you thinking about is grinding. I got to go to these workouts. I got to watch film. I got to take care of my body. That's all you thinking about. And then you got guys. I had teammates who were, what you call it, a major? Trust and Wealth majors.
Trust and Wealth.
Campbell is one of the only schools that offers that program.
Trust and Wealth major.
Trust and Wealth Management. And it leads straight into an MBA, only school that one of the only schools that does a four plus one program. So you get your master's in a year. So they were in that program. So they're like, yeah, we got internships for the summer. We're going to be gone the whole summer. Paid internships now. Banks working under accounts and everything, and handling people's money.
Right.
And I flew them out to Texas, paid for all the
travel, expenses,
the room and board, everything out there. So they came back, boom. So fast forward, it's time for us to leave school. We're trying to figure out what we're going to do. These guys are already set up with jobs making 80 to 100K.
Wow.
Out there in Texas. Wow. Fresh out of college.
Wow.
Doing an internship. Wow. Why are we thinking? We weren't thinking it's lame. Like, we were proud of them. But at the same time, we're like, we grinding right here. And it's a couple of y'all that's not here with us. Like, we only think about this.
Right.
The whole time, they thinking way bigger.
Right. So let me ask you, so who set the stage then? Because I'm hearing that most of the kids that go to college, they're playing football. The coach is trying to gear them to sociology, psychology, where when they come home, they're going to make $30,000 to $40,000 a year, where I got friends that don't have a college degree, they're making the same amount of money doing the same in the same field. Or criminal justice, come on, only one do criminal justice no more. They can be a, you can be a police just by being fit and shape, pass the test, and make the same amount of money. My question is, like, who set that playing field? Because I got some guy that came out of college, engineers, or, you know, your ex-teammates, former teammate, look what they're doing. They got come out of NBA making $80,000, $9,000 a year. Who made that decision whether you take this class or this class?
So yeah, like the Trust and Wealth program was actually like a Campbell used it as like a recruiting tool. A lot of kids, we don't really know what Trust and Wealth is all the way unless you have somebody teach you. So they kind of sit down, put that in front of the parents and use that as a recruiting tool. So when you get there, if it's something for you, it's a lot of math. So if you're good at math, you like doing it, okay, he's going to gravitate to it. But some of the guys, so you say who set the stage, some of the people that I don't like school, I'm not good at school, you know, put me in something real easy so I can get my grades so I can play. Because if you put me in this and it's a lot of math, I might not be eligible. So it's like, it's fighting that balance, like trying to make sure this kid is eligible, but also trying to make sure he has a future. So we want everybody to get degrees, but we know this guy may not be the strongest in school, even when he tries. So the kids that can handle it, we're going to go ahead. If you want to do it, now it's all your choice. If you want to do it, go ahead and pick up this these courses.
Right.
Now, if you're not so good at it, okay, now you get into the communications, the sociology, degrees of that nature, because they're a little easier to push through. It's more so English classes, saying
right,
things of that nature. So that's kind of where it goes. But, you know, for me personally, with the school I went to, they definitely pushed, like, getting somewhere along the business program.
Right. So with that being said, Campbell University, FCS school,
FCS,
right?
FCS.
All right. They're not going to play against Florida Gators.
No.
Okay. You went to Washington State, yeah. Pac-12.
Yeah.
Same philosophy?
No. You got counselors.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, that relationship with a counselor needs to be just as good, just as effective as the one with the coach that's recruiting you or your head coach. See, this is something that a lot of these recruiters don't talk about. Something that a lot of the parents and the kids don't think or talk about. Because now if that counselor is not in love with you or in love with you having a great future or in benefit of you, their job is to just make sure you're eligible.
Got it. Okay.
Just to make sure you can stay in school.
Yeah, but it's Pac-12. Pac-12, right? You said Washington State, big time football. No, more school go to NFL from Pac-12 and Power Five or anything.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they're more focused. It's like, hey, let's get them through the football. Yeah. Let's win some football game, right? So, but at any time though, the athlete could have stopped and said, "Wait,
right?
No." Because like for me, I took load of Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. We went straight to the business of Mendoza. Mm-hmm. I said, this is what you're going to do. Dad is a businessman, and you're going to go through business. And then they had their program where you automatically get into business class once you're done. He did say that. That was kind of tough for me. Mm-hmm. I said, I understand. But we're not going to sociology. We're not going to communication. We're not going to get no feel that you can get the same job with a high school diploma.
So it sounds like you was playing daddy and counselor.
Yes.
Counselor.
Yes.
Because you said, that comes from what field? The business field, right?
Right.
You said, we are going to go do what? Get into the business.
Yes.
We are not going to do what? XYZ, 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 because what? Your counselors ain't telling you that. Mm. You know, yes, business school was hard. I was a HBM major until I had to take calculus and macro and micro.
Right.
And I had a math class that was so hard my sophomore year. I was happy to pass with a D. It was so hard. And do you think there's a counselor that's saying, all right, Daryl, let's restructure your academic future. Let's actually sit down and see what you're interested in.
Right.
You know, I was a heavy TV production guy, and that's what I was going to Washington State for. How many of those coaches or counselors said, yeah, we're going to scrap the TV production program next year, and we're going to just mesh into communications? And then, okay, if that's the case, why, like, what does my academic future look like? Because I have a perception of communications that may not be true, or it may be true. But where is that counselor to sit down and say, all right, let's look at your 5-year plan. Let's look at alternatives for your graduation academically. And don't get me wrong, there are schools in the Pac-12 like Stanford, Cal, that are high academic schools that those situations may be different, or in other Power 5 schools or Group of 5 schools. But I can only attest to, you know, where I came from.
And let me go ahead, Dory. I want to ask you this, because I know, because I really like the program, how I did at Campbell. So you graduate from Campbell, Notre Dame, or any school, and they don't say, next coming up, graduated from Notre Dame, from Campbell, from Washington State, with a 2.1 to Dorian Jones. They don't even mention GPA, do it. No. So they care less about GPA. Long you just get through it, right? Long you graduate, right? So their focus is not really that you be successful for us as in your field. Their focus is just that you pass enough to play football and be eligible. That's the focus. I bet them coaches got a plan. They got a game plan, right? They know what they're doing. New crews come in. When you first came in, they sold you all the dream. They did great salesmen. Our coaches are great salesmen. I'm a great salesman. But I back up what I say. Your thoughts on that?
So to clarify, you're just saying like the thoughts on coaches putting a game plan versus counselors putting a game plan.
Correct.
Our counselors too, like they did definitely try to give us like guidance on what you should do, what you could do, but it's not like so much the hands on, because you got to think these coaches are in the counselor's ear too. Make sure my guy's eligible.
Yeah. need him Saturday.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, so it's kind of so much, okay, what do you want to do? A lot of kids, I don't know. Most kids, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, well, what do you like? Okay, I like football. I'm kind of good at math. I'm kind of good at reading. I kind of like cameras and film production and things of that nature. Okay, so let's structure your schedule this way. We'll let you go undecided, but I'm going to put your electives in the things that you told me you like. Whatever we offer, I'm going to put your electives this way. So, but at the end of the day, you got to end up deciding after like your 2 years. So, like, they put together a game plan so much that at the same time, it's not so much, hey, say I come in, I tell my trainer, hey, when I leave college, I want to be a sports trainer one day. They don't really tell you, well, yeah, we are exercise science, sport management. They're not going to really, like, push you in that direction of, hey, I think you would be great with a kinesiology degree. You have to know the whole body of kinesiology, and you have to take all the exercise science classes. Now you know everything. You could be a personal trainer. You could be a physical therapist.
Right.
You could be everything with a kinesiology degree. But they kind of keep it baseline just so coaches in the ear, yeah, you need to be eligible. Like, they'll tell you, some coaches will tell you straight up, you can't take the engineering courses because, one, it interferes with your class schedule. Two, it's going to be too hard. You might be ineligible.
Right. Like, and then they interview with practice. They got to go to all the different labs and different
sites. So like, yeah. Oh, no, he can't take that degree.
Right.
He can't take
that
degree.
So that's why guys said, no, I'm just going to NFL. Yeah. I didn't want to go to NFL, whatever. Give me an easy class. Let me go to NFL.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I'm going to NFL. I got to make my dream come true.
Yeah.
But then all failed, it don't happen.
Yeah.
Now both of you are done with college. You come home, you work out, you train for pro day, right? You give it a try, you give your all. It didn't make it. But at least you can look back and say, I tried to go to pro day. I tried to go to NFL. I did everything I can. And now it's time for the real world. Darryl reached back out to his coaches. Doran reached out to his coaches. Or even with just trying to get an opportunity to try out for different teams. How did that go?
I'm going to let Darryl go first.
For me, it was a long journey. It was a journey of pretty much going in, doing a lot of tryouts there for a day or two, but nothing ever, you know, stuck, you know, and then just combining that with injuries and, you know, just the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, you're getting into the real world. You're a grown man at this time. So you have to sort of make that decision of what are you going to do? Is it worth it to keep, you know, sacrificing your time, sacrificing your health, sacrificing your body, you know, to keep chasing something that's, you know, that could be a fallacy ultimately.
But did you know what to do? When you all said and done, like football is done, you're like, okay, did you know what you set up for success after that? Did they have a game plan for you? I mean, did they have a system for you? Okay, Daryl, if it don't make NFL, give me a call. I'm going to set you up with this person. Or what was that like?
You know, I think that goes big into vetting the guy who you're going to play for. Because, no, I can't say that I had coaches that I played for who directly had that connection set up for me. It was only the guys, again, we talk about my youth coaches, my high school coaches, the guys that I trained with. That's where all my opportunities came from. You know, there was one opportunity where, you know, I was able to go coach some college football with a guy, again, who, you know, he didn't recruit me. He was a GA when I was playing ball. But we grew and we built a good relationship. And that's why I think relationships are so strong, because at the end of the day, when you need something, they're not thinking about, okay, I was recruiting this guy because I needed him. They're thinking about, oh, no, that's my boy. Or, you know, that's a kid I used to train. Like, they actually care for you.
Right.
You know, so all of my opportunities came from strong relationships that I had where neither one of us were in game. We were just trying to help each other since we knew each other. But we had a good relationship.
Wow.
And, you know, I just kind of had to figure it out on my own.
On your own.
Yeah, I had to just figure it out.
You know? Dory, same question. I mean, you're done. Give your all. You can look back and say, I tried. I went my pro day. I reached out, asked for help. Now I got to figure out what I'm doing in life and career. Was they there for you? How did that go?
So, yeah, I'm going to take it back to right before pro day a little bit, just so I can lead into that point that you're trying to make. So coming from a smarter school, I actually had three teammates. You know, and it's rare coming from FCS school that you have three teammates make it to the NFL.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? We had all 32 teams come through the facility during the season.
Wow.
At Campbell University my senior year. So we were in front of the teams or whatever. A couple of teams inquired about me while I was there and things of that nature. But when it came down to it, you know, I was all conference my senior year, of course, first season playing healthy. I'm not going to say any names, of course, but I asked the coach, hey, you know, you were a second round draft pick when you came out of college. You know, what does that look like? You know what I'm saying? I'm coming from a smaller school. Can I get some help? Like, how do I go about getting an agent? Do you know anybody? Things of that nature. And I was like, it was kind of like, I didn't really get a straightforward answer. It was like, I left out of that office with nothing. Mm. Now we have new coaches that came in. They were only there for my senior season. So I don't know them for about 4 to 6 months. There are about 3 to 4 of those coaches that actually went to work for me, got me in touch with guys, got me in touch with agents, and really got the ball rolling there. Now we trained with you during pro day. You know, always before pro day, I got into that car accident.
Yeah.
Lost a lot of weight, couldn't train until really the week before. So lost a lot of weight, lost a lot of strength, wasn't 100%, didn't put up the numbers. Okay, cool. Come down to it, one coach that went to bat for me, and still actually going to bat for me this day without me even having a conversation. When he was texting me up, hey, I hit such and such up for you. He's actually at ECU now, my first defensive bats coach. And he was kind of a big reason that I went to Campbell, because I still had some of the other FBS schools on the board after I decommitted from Georgia State and things of that nature. But just he felt like a real genuine guy. And like, he didn't really so much talk about what we can do for you on the field. Like, this is what I'm going to do for you as a man. So he's probably the only coach that really said, hey, I think you'd be a great coach. I'm going to reach out to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 schools to see if you want to be a college coach. And, you know, out of nowhere, college coaches are texting my phone. Hey, we had this position.
Wow. This position.
And he wasn't even my coach for my last 2 years. Yeah. I played against him. We played ECU my senior year. Right. I played against him. It was like the love was still there. So that one coach who wasn't even my coach for my last 2 years was probably the only one that really said, hey, here's what I can do for this, what you said you wanted to do. Other than that, like, was like in limbo. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, it got cut short for me. Okay, didn't have a good pro day. Tried to do the XFL thing. It was very politicky. I had a great XFL tryout, but it was real politicky. I already had guys from that was cut from NFL training
camps. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So it was like, okay, it is what it is. Now I'm stuck. Like, I have 2 degrees and don't really know what I want to do. And then it was like, I prayed a lot, you know what I'm saying? And it was like, boom, it hit me. Like, okay, you need to touch the youth. Maybe not be a coach, because, you know, coaching at one school is like you just had your hand in one pot. I want to be able to inspire everybody. So it was like, okay, sports performance training. You know, I always said, and it's crazy because, and I don't know what made me get away from it. When I first got to college, I'm like, man, I probably need to train. Like, be a sports trainer, like Coach Lowe. Everybody know Coach Lowe. Coach Lowe help everybody get to school. Coach Lowe been there, and he a good trainer. So I'm like, okay, I need to be like that. But for some reason, I went off the road of that because I was only thinking football. I'm like, correct. How do I get out of here? I was this big recruit. I had Power 5 offers, and then it crashed to nothing. So now my only thing, I need to get back.
Right.
Only way to get back is I get to the NFL. So that's right. All my mind was on. But hit me sports performance channel. I'm like, okay, well, I need to get in the fitness industry. Okay. It's a gym up the street. They have personal trainers in there. I always been a leader. I'm not going to get a regular role. I need to go be a manager. I got these degrees. I have a sport management degree. Close enough to the industry. Okay, let me go get this. I hit up every trainer in college, like that, did strength and conditioning in college that I met. Hey, what do I need to do to be a personal trainer? What degree do you have? I said sport management. I took all the exercise science classes. Okay, perfect. You're already halfway there. All you need to do is get your CSCS. Certified strength and conditioning certification.
That's it.
Okay, get these courses. Take these courses. Once you get your CSCS, now you'll be set up. So the relationships I built with guys that didn't even recruit me was kind of what helped me get back connected, because I had to reach out to them and reach out to you. Now I'm doing an internship with you, learning and growing. Add that to the resume. You know, so it wasn't so much the coaches that got me there other than one, but it was the people, like he said, you met outside of that wanted you for no gain. We're both trying to help each other, that really got me to the point where I am today, where now I have my own training company, One Step Sports Performance. I have officially under an LLC, you know what I'm saying? So now I'm interning with you under Excel Speed Training. Add that to the resume. Now I'm learning and growing every day.
Right.
I'm in the fitness industry. I'm around personal trainers all day, every day, asking them questions. It got to the point, I don't even work personally with the personal trainers, but they see how I work out. They see I'm able to help people that come in and have questions in the gym about what kind of exercise, what kind of workouts to do. The head fitness manager said, you're not even my department, but I need you.
Right. But look at that. But look what happened, though. That hard work, that determination, all the way from when you were young, all the way through, that desire to be the best, to be the greatest, be the best that you can be. But you had the support from coaches, from youth all the way to high school to even the college. But there's some coach that wasn't there, but there's some was there, right? And that's what it's all about. And learn how to deal with that failure, how to deal with the success, or to deal with someone turning their back, deal with someone and not turning their back. And that goes both ways. And being at Washington State, the ups and downs, I can remember times to come up there and watch you play, just being there. Your father wouldn't make it, Coach Lowe were there. I came to Georgia, right? I'll never forget coming to Georgia watching you play. I'm in the stand. I'm about, but I'm like, Coach Lowe was there. I was right there. I'm coaching you in the game. Hey, you need to do this and do that. You know what I mean? And it's so crazy about a coach relationship, because when Daryl, you know, I get up there, I just stay in his apartment by myself. And I'm like, where Daryl at? And I'm looking for him, like, I'm knocking on the door, like, what? He ain't coming home? You know, it's just crazy, though. But that relationship was just unbelievable, right? But I will tell you this here while you're on the show. I did take a couple of your jerseys and shirts and stuff, too, while you went in the room. So that what happened when you let me stay in your house and you don't stay the whole time? Yeah, I got me a couple of shorts. I got a shirt. I knew I could fit them back then. So I got some of your stuff. I'm going to let you know. All right. And then I was going to Lowe's room, Notre Dame, when his roommate went there, I was going to his room, get some of his stuff.
Coming out of that field.
I was getting all that there. But that was a great journey for me, being part of both you guys' lives since y'all was little, from youth all the way up to NFL to now to young men that pursuing different dreams and giving back to the youth kid. And that's what people have to look at it and understand, that a relationship with a coach need to be genuine. You have to be passionate. You got to have the passion for it. And you'll see the passion. If you don't see the passion, he's not genuine. And he's not there for him, not just during the football season, but for life. Then you might need to relook at things. But you better start it when you're young and understand it when you're young. Because when they get to college, they're on their own. And you're on your own, correct? Mm-hmm. And that's the key right there. So once again, God, thank y'all for coming onto the show. Right, listen to Lowe. You've been listening to me all your life, and now you're sitting here and giving back all that information, all that knowledge, all the experience that we shared together, and now we'll give it back to the youth, and they make sure that everyone hear it, they see it, and they believe it. So back to you guys, right? You're listening to Low Show. This is episode 3. As you can see, I had two of my former players. Now I got my trainers at XL Speed Training. Got Dorian Jones, college graduate from Campbell University. Dan Monroe, college graduate from Washington State University. Now they're back and they know their directions and they know where they're going and they're ready to give that information to you and share the love to you the same way I shared it with them. Y'all make sure y'all tune in for next week. Episode 4 is coming next week. And look like we have a couple people that beating down the door to be on Listen to Low. Right? We have Donna Scott, 2-time Olympian. We have Maurice Allen, 2-time world champion, the longest drive in golf next week. We promise you that we will get back into the Hall of Fame of Warren Sapp. All right, we had some things we had to change around, but we're excited about that too. So make sure you go like it, subscribe on YouTube at Camp King with a K, K for kids, Camp King 12, Camp King 12 on YouTube. Thank you guys again, and I'm Coach Low for Life.